scripture is from Zechariah 7, verses 8 through 10, and this is out of the New International Version. And the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other. This is the word of God for the people of God.
A pastor decided to skip church one Sunday morning and go play golf. He told his assistant he wasn't feeling well. And then he drove to a golf course in another city because he obviously didn't want anybody to recognize him, right? He teed off on the first hole, and he hits the ball, and a huge gust of wind picks up right in that moment, carries the ball an extra 100 yards down the fairway, lands on the green, starts rolling towards the hole. Another gust of wind comes, blows it into the hole for a 350-yard hole-in-one. All of heaven is like, you know, like, what is up with this? And an angel turns to God and says, God, what in the world did you do that for? He skipped out on church and he went to play golf. And God looked at him and said, yeah, but who's he going to tell? All right. May have heard that joke before, but just kind of wanted to start off on a little bit of a lighter note. So today we begin a new four-week series on social justice. September in the Free Methodist Church, as we get to the final Sunday of the month, we have what we call Freedom Sunday. Freedom Sunday is a day that in the Free Methodist Church we set aside to really acknowledge and to even sometimes give towards ministries and peoples that are doing the work of social justice in our own particular context and denomination or even around the world. This year, just to point out to you, we, on September 29th, which is a fifth Sunday for us here, in honor of Freedom Sunday, we're going to do something a little different because we ask you usually to give in December, right? We usually do the Advent conspiracy and we give money towards things that also have usually social justice elements to them. But on September 29th, but we're actually going to go out into our community. We'll gather here. We'll have a little maybe, you know, a song or something and some instructions. But we're going to go out and practice doing good to our community. We're probably going to go to a couple of locations, either picking up garbage or just, and we've done that before here. It was a really powerful experience to share that together. So I know that breaks some of your religious molds or ideas of what you're supposed to do on a Sunday morning. But even Jesus said that the Pharisees sometimes were so caught up in their religious service that they neglected to do justice. They didn't actually do what they were supposed to be doing. So we kind of break that mold, and we're going to go out into our community. We'll get more specific about it as time goes on. So that's kind of this month of September, we're going to be focusing on this idea of social justice. But one of the things that we want to make clear is that there's different ways to approach the idea of social justice. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about two, and they are opposing, in many ways, worldviews. Now, it doesn't mean we can't work together with people that share a different worldview than us to do justice and to love mercy, right? But I do want to make sure that we differentiate between the two because I think there's a lot of Christians who are either confused or don't consider some of the things we want to talk about in light of social justice. So I also want to make it clear that even though I'm going to be putting forth two opposing views, and I'm going to be very clear about which view I think we should be adhering to and walking in as followers of Jesus, my point is not to demean or put down those who have an opposing worldview. Can we be clear about that? It's because sometimes it's going to sound that way, but I'm just trying to point out the differences. There are a lot of well-intentioned people that would hold what I would call a secular humanist point of view in the way they approach the idea of social justice, okay? My point is not to put them down. My point is to differentiate between secular humanism and a biblical worldview and approach to how we do social justice. So are we clear on that point? Our goal is not to put other people down. Our goal is to uphold what we believe to be a biblical worldview and how, and I think how we can do social justice maybe a little bit better. So I guess in some ways, see, it'll come across sounding that way, but just know my heart in it, okay? So as we begin this series and in this introduction, I hope to do two things primarily today. I got to give one more disclaimer. 30 minutes does not give the topic justice, even by way of introduction. So I'm going to leave things out. I'm going to talk in generalities sometimes. I get it. Generalities don't always work, right? In fact, really, they rarely ever work. But I just don't have the time to go through and just dissect every little aspect of what we're sharing about. So if you have a question or any concerns, just, you know, shoot me a text or give me a call tomorrow, and we can talk more about it, okay? So the first thing I want to do is I want to define what we even mean by social justice. Social justice is a term that gets thrown around all over the place, and I'm not sure that most people even really know what it means. So I'm going to do this by talking about, as I've already mentioned, the secular humanist view. And don't just check out because I'm using words like secular and humanist, okay? But there's a secular humanist view that currently prevails in our culture. And then I want to look at what I believe to be a biblical view of social justice. Then the second thing I want to do is I want to clarify why we're even doing a series on social justice and why I think it's important. Why is it vital to know the difference between secular social justice and biblical social justice? So defining social justice is difficult because it is a term that actually has changed over the years. In fact, I would come right out of the gate and say that's one of the problems with secular social justice. Social justice just changes with the whim of culture. So things that were important to culture 50 years ago aren't important to culture today. In fact, there are things that I would argue that are important to culture today that are actually contrary to the scriptural teachings of Jesus, and they're being bantered about as being issues of social justice. See what I'm saying? So one of the key, to me, fallacies of social justice from a secular humanistic point of view is you have nothing really to base it on. It's only based on whatever the majority or even the vocal minority sometimes is saying is social justice. Are you kind of getting what I'm saying there? So this is why I think we just need to be careful when we are talking about social justice, or even kind of careful about the things we get excited about or start arguing with people about, because I've listened to a lot of Christian people, and I'm not saying they're not Christian, I'm not saying they're not sincere, but argue about things that are not biblical. It's in the media all the time. It's put forth as being right and true by vocal people in our culture, but it is not necessarily biblical. So I want to define it a little bit further. So from a secular point of view, the kind of the best definition that I can give here is this: that it is essentially understood as the equal distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. Now that sounds pretty good. The equal distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. The problem I have with this particular definition is the word distribution. For wealth to be distributed, there has to be someone doing the distributing, right? So for someone to do the distributing, they have to be a group that is able to enforce how things are distributed. That group tends to be, historically, the state, right? It falls into the hands of government leaders, which historically, again, has taken as many resources for itself as it distributes. Are you with me? So the state has a tendency, when the state is doing the distributing of resources or the redistributing of resources, they tend to take as many as they distribute. They also, just the tendency historically, is that the state who does that or gets engaged in that eventually becomes a totalitarian state. In other words, they start to want to control everything of everybody, even where you work and what you do and everything. And I'm just saying that historically, if we look at history, that usually has not turned out well. Go back over history, even some of the greatest cultures and societies that humanity has known, whether you go back to the Egyptian pharaohs or the Roman Caesars, and there, you know, while there may have been some benefits to that, they never did find a place of equity, first of all, and they eventually became totalitarian, and again, a lot of people suffered under those regimes. Even just to be quite frank, you look at the fruit of communism, and which is the epitome of a humanistic secular view of social justice. It is. It's where that Marxism begins with the idea of social justice, equitable distribution of wealth and goods for everybody in the culture. But look where it ends up. Are you with me? Okay. So obviously there is some troubles about with this from where I sit and the way I see things. I try to see them through the eyes of Scripture. So in a few moments, I am going to look at this further at the biblical definition, but for now, I'm going to make a few more statements looking at this all from a secular humanistic point of view. So today in our culture, Western culture, you hear so much about this idea of social justice, don't you? What do you think the riots and all the stuff that's going on downtown all the time, what's at the core of that? Whatever side you're on there, first of all, they're convinced that they're right, and they think they're doing society a favor by being there. I would argue differently from that, but I'm not going to go off on that direction today. Today, Western secular social justice, though, is rooted in humanism. So let me define humanism for you just for a second here. Humanism can be defined as an outlook or system of thought attaching prime importance to human rather than divine or supernatural matters. Humanist beliefs stress that the potential value and goodness of human beings, emphasize common human needs, and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems. Well, once again, I have serious issues with humanism and that definition, because I believe it is absolutely critical that we have divine and supernatural assistance in helping us to accomplish justice in our world today. And I also, quite frankly, am not convinced, and history again, I think, is on my side, I am not convinced in the general human goodness or the goodness of humanity. And you can try to argue all you want with me, and I'll get to this in a moment, but I just don't think that is true. And it's certainly not the biblical teaching. The biblical teaching says what? Humanity is fallen. We are fundamentally broken and flawed. So when you toss God out of the equation and say you're going to help solve all the world's problems from a strictly rational human point of view, and we're good, and so we're going to go out there and do that, I mean, I appreciate the intentions. I'm sounding really critical, and I am critical of humanism, but I want to be careful that I'm speaking about philosophies. That people hold, and I'm really not trying to denigrate or put down those who seek to do good in the world today. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to attach prime importance to the divine, right? Prime importance to God. And I would argue that when we begin with our focus on God, that's when we truly gain God's heart for humanity. But one of the key things is that as humans, we need to remember, especially as Christians, that we were created in the image of God. God, we weren't just created in our own image. We don't just wake up and create, we are created in the image of God. And when you take God out of that equation, you are taking out what I believe to be the vital component of what it means to really love other people and to love them well. Because to acknowledge that all people are created in the image of God is absolutely essential to valuing people in the way they should be valued. And then we don't need the government to redistribute our wealth. We are equitable and just as human beings one to another. But it has to start with the person and nature of God. When we recognize, by the way, that the biblical teaching, I've said this already, that humanity is not essentially good, we also recognize that it's only through the power of God that people and society can be transformed and reflect true justice, love, and equity for all. I think it is actually impossible for human beings to do this without God. In fact, you see the fruit of it again. You have people that basically look to human institutions and start protesting. In fact, my brother-in-law said this to me the other day when he knew I was going to talk about this. He said, it's really in vogue right now to love humanity, right? You want to love humanity, yet we hate our neighbor. Right? So we say we love humanity and we want to everybody to be happy and everybody to do whatever they want to do and we're going to tolerate everybody. But by golly, don't you disagree with me, you person right next to me. It's really nice when it's all up here in ideologies and stuff, but when it gets down to the ground level, it becomes a whole different matter. And then you have riots and protesters and people hurting each other downtown. You see what I'm saying? All efforts that start with the basis that humanity is essentially good, really, even when they've done some good things, are doomed to fail, I think, you know, ultimately. In fact, I'm amazed at how little we've learned from history. From the very beginnings, human beings have had this desire to do everything without God. From the get-go. And to solve its problems without God. So let me just read to you, and you might not understand how this relates, but I'll get it tied in. In Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, we read about the Tower of Babel, or Babel, or however you want to say it. I like Babel because it goes more with babbling, right? So at one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. And as the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, let's make bricks and harden them with fire. In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar was used for mortar. Then they said, come, let's build a great city for ourselves. Let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. Well, for those of you that know the story, that didn't really work out so well. You see, humanity has this inbred thing. We're going to do this ourselves. We're going to be like God. We're going to build a city that's tower is so high it's going to reach to the sky. And who, especially in ancient understanding, where did God live? In the sky. That's their viewpoint was that. It is an absolute counter to the worship of God. And it epitomizes the idea of worshiping of ourselves. Then with the Enlightenment movements of the late 17th and 18th centuries, in Western society in particular, huge numbers of people decided that human reasoning was the only way to resolve humanity's problems. And with this, there was an explicit rejection of God. You just go look at your history here, okay? This led to some highly optimistic thinking about the future. We were emerging from the dark ages and moving towards a utopian age of reason. And you saw this sense of hope and looking to the future. Humanity was once again going to build a tower that reaches to the sky. But then some things happened. 620,000 people died in the Civil War. 16 million more people died in World War I. 75 million people died in World War II. So much for humanity's utopian age of reason. I'm just saying. And even people who have adhered to that view were deeply shaken. And some even came to faith because reason was not working. I'm not saying you don't, let me be clear here. God wants you to use your minds. God wants you to reason and think things through. But he's asking you to do it in light of who God is and what we see in Scripture, okay? But again, it seems that we never learn. As Christians, we need to understand the prevailing culture view, that the prevailing culture view today is really rooted and grounded in humanism and is the basis for social justice as we see it often expressed. But I believe that we as Christians, again, I've said this already, but we should honor God in all things. and also that we should avoid the obvious pitfalls of humanistic social justice. And I do see, and again, I want to be careful. My heart is not, I'm just trying to point things out, okay? I'm not trying to put people down. I'm just trying to point some things out. Because I do see many Christians who in practice are simply Christian humanists. They're Christians, who am I to say? They could love Jesus with all their heart, but when it comes to how they practice social justice, they are motivated more by the need to help others than they are by the desire to glorify God. Do you catch that difference? If you are motivated in social justice, and bear with me here, and your focus is actually helping others, I have a word for you. That's called idolatry, because you are actually putting human beings before God. And I would argue again that utterly that will fail. But when you are motivated by a desire to glorify God, and when you are motivated by a desire to be an expression of the heart of God to people around you, I would argue you will love them better and that you will be able to actually help them not only physically, but spiritually and eternally as well. So you got me? Okay, so I'm all for it. Like, before you think I don't believe in social justice, I do with all my heart. The problem with the secular humanistic point of view, even when it's done by Christians, is that it has little to no eternal value. It is important to feed the hungry. I'm gonna get to this. It is important to feed the hungry. It is important to care for those who are in need. It is vital that we care and love the orphans and the widows and care about the foreigners, and I'll get to all this stuff. Those things are vital. Listen, the very idea of social justice did not originate with human beings. The idea of social justice is not, really should not even be attached or acquainted with a political party. True social justice originates from the heart of God. Listen to this in Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 through 10. And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. In your hearts, do not think evil of each other. Listen, this is God speaking at least 2,600 years ago, long before social justice was popular in the United States of America. True justice begins in the heart of God. It is a biblical concept. It should be embraced by Christians, but how do we do that? I've already said, as Christians, we must begin with God. In fact, one of the key things here that I think is missing in the secular humanistic point of view is that justice, in the biblical references to the word justice, it means to make right. And behind this idea of making right is a relational sense. Justice is first and foremost a relational term. People living in right relationship with God, one another, and the natural creation. Hello, do you see how different that is? It is a relational term. It is not a political term. It is not an issue that can be solved by throwing more money at it. It is a problem that can only be solved by people who are doing justice, who are in right relationship with God, seek to be in right relationship with one another, and seek to be in right relationship with all of the natural creation and order. Can I get an amen? That's what I've been told. Okay. I've been told not to make you guys feel bad when I want some feedback. Can I get an amen? To me, this is huge. I know I've been talking for a while, and I appreciate you staying focused on a hot day. Social justice is relational, and it starts in the heart of God. And it goes out from the heart of God. Then I can genuinely love people, do justice, show mercy, have compassion, take action. From a scriptural point of view, justice means loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. Love is at the heart. Relationship. As God is just and loving, so we are called to do justice and to live in love. Humanistic or secular social justice and its meaning, as I said, changes as our culture changes. But biblical social justice is rooted in the unchanging nature of God. I'll try to move more quickly here, but I want to just give you a quick definition, I think, from Scripture. There's a few elements, and I want to just put them out there. I got to go fast. I'm just doing an introduction here, but let's just take a quick look at how Scripture defines justice. Foundationally, first of all understanding of justice is rooted in the reality that God is just. God is just. Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4 says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord, O praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. So how do we then live this out? Well, the first thing I would say, it's in that passage. We are to live our lives doing what is just and right. How do we define what's right? Come on. Read the scriptures. Don't let culture define for you what's right and what's wrong. Christians should be looking to the scriptures to define that. God is just. God does no wrong. We are to conduct ourselves in the same way. Micah 6:8 says, he has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To do what? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The second thing I want to say, so the first thing is we do what is just. We do what is just and right. We live it out. The second thing, and this is important because you will not hear this that much in most arguments for social justice from a secular point of view. Biblical social justice acknowledges that for the good of society, people need to be held accountable for their actions. You don't hear that very much today. But for true justice to occur, people, unrepentant people in particular, need to be held responsible for their actions, held accountable. We see in Scripture that God gives. It's clear. If you are unrepentant, you are going to get, it says in Jeremiah 17, that God rewards each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. And I would argue that you cannot have a just society without holding people accountable. So when someone murders someone else, they should be held accountable. To not hold that person accountable is unjust. It's unjust. The third thing that I would put out is that, like God, we are to defend the cause of the weak and vulnerable of society, which is what most people today consider to be social justice. We agree that we should care for the weak and the vulnerable in our society. We just have a different foundation, place where we start when we seek to do that. Is that making sense? It says it clearly in Deuteronomy chapter 10, for the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. We are to do justice. My argument today is, are we approaching the things that we do, the things where we want to do good, where we want to do justly, where we want to love mercy, where we want to care for those, and we should care for them, but do we do it with the heart of God? And do we start with the person of God and allow God to love well through us and to care well through us? So again, why should you care about all this? I would argue that there's at least two reasons I've touched on today. First, we want to engage in practices. I think it's vital, if we're going to call ourselves Christians, that we engage in practices that honor the nature and character of the God we profess to worship. that if we're going to sit here and say we're Christians, we're followers of Jesus, that everything we do should be grounded and rooted in giving all glory and honor to God. That our acts of social justice are acts of worship. And that God is actually our first and primary concern. I believe that when we love God first, we will help people better. That we will love people better. That we will serve people better. But if we start with the people, we will burn out, or we will get tired, or we'll get cynical, or we'll, because people are going to let you down. You're going to help a lot of people, and they're going to stab you in the back and spit in your face. And if you're just doing it for the sake of people, you're out. You will stop doing justice. You will stop helping those in need. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm trying to be nice through this whole thing, but this is critical. Critical. If we're going to do biblical, if we're going to do justice well. The very nature of God, the second thing I would say, the very nature of God is one of justice. And Scripture shows us how justice is to be exercised in society. In fact, to be just is to be Christian, and to be Christian is to be just. If you're truly going to be just, I think really as followers of Jesus, at the very heart of it is to be just. God is just. You know, there's only a few things where it says God is in Scripture. We all know one of them. God is what?
Love.
God is love. What is another place where it says God is? God is just, multiple times. God is holy. There's actually a lot of God is's, but God is just, okay? Second, and this is a little harsh here, but I just don't think that humanistic secular justice historically has ever really worked. It may temporarily help some things move forward, or, you know, but just in a long-term scheme of things, just hasn't worked. And even when it does help to temporarily relieve the hunger of the poor or provide access to helps and services equitable to all people, it certainly does not help them with their eternal well-being. It helps them in this life, and Jesus does care about this life. He cares about those who are going hungry. He cares about those who are not clothed. He cares about those who don't have a place to live. He deeply cares about those things. But Jesus came to die to reconcile us to God and to open the door for us to spend all of eternity with him. So which one? I've presented two things. Which one will you choose? Are you going to do good from a humanistic, secular point of view or a biblical worldview? And I know that now that I've talked, you would all say, well, I want to do it from, most of you, I think, would say, I want to do it from a biblical worldview. Think about what that really means. Look into it. Which one will you choose? As Christians, I believe we should seek to live out biblical social justice. To be just is to be Christian, and to be Christian, we should be just. Let's ground our acts of social justice in the very nature of God. And like God, let us live our lives doing what is just and right. And like God, let us acknowledge that for the good of society, people need to be held accountable for their actions. And like God, let us defend the cause of the weak and vulnerable of society. Lord, this is not a message that really calls for, you know, like an altar call, but I do think it does call for a response in us. And Lord, I pray with all my heart that you would raise up an army, Lord, of Bible-believing Christians who ground their good works and their heart to love humanity. They would ground it all in your heart. And that you would help us, Lord, to love people well. To love people with your love. Lord, my love is so fractured and so even selfish. My love can only take me so far, and I get burnt out and I got nothing more to give. And Lord, but your love reaches to the heavens. Lord, your love extends beyond the skies. Lord, you are amazing, and you love people, and you want us, You want there to be justice in humanity. Justice on the earth. And you want us doing good and caring for those who are vulnerable and at risk. But Lord, help us to do it all for your glory.